I remember when I was young, probably 6 or 7, and I lived in a small town in McFarland, and my parents decided that they were going to plant a garden. Now, this wasn't a small garden. My parents don't do anything small, if you know them. And so they made a huge plot of land, and they started digging up the soil and grounding it and preparing it for seeds. If any of you remember being a kid, or maybe even as an adult, when you see the seed packets, the pictures, the promises that are on these seed packets are amazing. I mean, it's like the best fruit you could ever find. And so as a kid, I remember looking at this seed packet and being like, wow, that is going to grow out of this ground? And so we went to the store and we picked up a few things. Most importantly, we got a shovel. And this shovel was used, I was told, as a young boy to go plant seeds. And I have more of my story to share, but let's get to the most important part of the morning, God's Word. If you would stand, please. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 4. This is the action gospel. Mark is all about action, and so Jesus is talking about planting the kingdom. And so let's read together. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word, that we can look back thousands of years and read something that the Son of God shared with people, and we can study it and grow from it and learn from it. God, would you not make this about me at all this morning? This is about us. This is about you. This is about growth. This is about learning and cultivating more of the kingdom in our hearts and in the hearts of others. God, would you bless what I'm going to say? Would it be from you? And would it connect with hearts in this place in the way that only you can? In Jesus' name, amen. First, before we get more into the seeds and the sowers, I want to talk about parables. In this section of Mark, there's a couple of parables that happen back to back. It starts with this parable of the sower and his seeds, but then it goes into a couple other parables. You see, large crowds, as it said in the scripture, had been following Jesus, so large that he had to go on a boat. As we read, he shared about the kingdom of God and how it was going to grow. But if you just hear the first part of the parable, if you just hear what we read, that's not the whole story. He spoke in these parables because he wanted to see who would go deeper. It reminds me of my high school English class. We would read a book, and it was often like a 300 or 400 page book. And then the English teacher would teach us for weeks about all the hidden themes and things we should know from reading this book. And I was like, what? How do you get that out of that? I thought it was just a great story. But she said, no, Jason, you have to read deeper. Become a student of the literature. Learn more about it. Let it cultivate something inside you. And that's what parables are. They're an opportunity for us to learn and grow and understand what the kingdom of God is all about. Jesus knew that most people wouldn't understand these parables that he was sharing. He talked about it, for example, if we're looking at statistics, 25% of the seeds were going to fall on fertile soil. 3/4 of those seeds would fall on ears that would not hear. Jesus would often say at the end of some of his parables, it's throughout all the different gospels, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I believe that's a call to us this morning to hear a little bit deeper, a little more of what the Lord may have for us, instead of just a great story. And I promise I have a few of those, but it's really about what God is speaking to our hearts this morning. Jesus is not just winning the world with this massive crowd. The massive crowd is following him, but he turns around and he explains it to 12 men who decided, they left everything. Jesus said, come with me. And they dropped everything and obediently followed him. That's what Jesus is looking for, I would contend. And because of that, after he shared this parable, he came and told them what it actually meant. And I believe Jesus wants to give us the answer key to what he's trying to speak in our hearts this morning. How is Jesus calling you deeper? Is he going to bring you in and give you the meaning that you've been searching for? I believe he is. But it starts with the seed. Let's read the explanation that he gives the disciples in Mark 4, 10 through 20. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables, and he told them. He said, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that, don't miss that, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? I think Jesus got a little frustrated with his disciples from time to time, but they followed him. They loved him. They said, Jesus, give us more. Give us the meaning. They were hungry. They wanted more from the kingdom. In the parable of the sower, he explains that the seed is the word of God. What does that mean? Simply put, it's the gospel. It's the good news that Jesus' kingdom has come to this earth, that God sent his son here to die for your sins and my sins, and because of that, we can spend eternity with him. Jesus was spreading the good news before he was even called to die. He was sharing something that was actually anticipatory of what was to come. It's interesting that the phrases that he says are actually from the book of Isaiah, but he's looking for ambassadors for the kingdom. He's looking for the small crowd, the disciples, that can let people know what the kingdom is all about. I went to a store the other day, and this store you may have heard of, I'm going to tell you what the name of it is in a minute. This store was very hyped up. Everybody's like, you got to go to this store. You got to go to this store. And so the store is Bucky's. So everybody's like, you got to go to Bucky's. You got to go to Bucky's. And so we went into Bucky's, and I've got to be honest with you, it was a little underwhelming. I'm sorry to say, but I was kind of, I know I see people leaving. I'm just kidding. It was a little underwhelming. And so I'm walking through, and I love their mascot, and I'm looking at all the merch, and I'm like, wow, this is all really expensive. And then I got to the beef jerky wall. So if you've never been to a Bucky's, there's a whole wall of beef jerky, and then there's like a delicatessen of beef jerky. So you can order all these flavors, and it's like, I don't know if it's fresh beef, more fresh than in the bag. But the point is, there was an employee there, and he started talking to me as I was ordering my beef jerky, and he's like, no, you got to try this and this. No, here's some samples. And he's just starting, he's selling me on how awesome Bucky's is. Did you go here? Did you do this? He's giving me the grand tour from behind the counter of the beef jerky display. So I'm like, okay, this guy's clearly excited about it. So then I walk around a little more, and I start to talk to some of the employees. Everybody that works at Bucky's that I met was on fire for Bucky's. They were so excited about it. You guys, we need to have that excitement about the kingdom of God. The Lord has done a good work in our hearts. Why are we not excited to tell somebody about it? Do they have to come in the church for us to tell them about it? I bet these guys, these employees at Buc-ee's, were telling people about Buc-ee's not in Buc-ee's. And I think that's important to note. Paul talks in Romans 10, 14 through 15 about sharing the gospel. He says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? I believe that means all of us sharing with them. It doesn't have to be a preacher. How can anyone preach unless they are sent, unless it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news? Take a second. Just look to your neighbor and just say, you have really nice feet. Now, don't lie if it's not true. Guess what? We're all sent to share the gospel. We're all called to cast seeds. Here's how it works. Jesus is the OG. He's the original gardener. And so he's cast seeds. Darn it, you guys made me smile. I was going to try to do that one without smiling. He's cast seeds, and the ones that have fallen on good soil produce fruit and more seeds. That's the gospel. That's how the kingdom grows. One of the most exciting things in Christianity is sharing the gospel. But if you haven't done it yet, you're not alone. God has called us to be messengers, to be sowers, to scatter seeds. This parable, along with the other three parables in Mark 4, really help us show how we can build his kingdom. One thing I want to just call out here as a part of this parable. Notice how the sower doesn't only plant in the good spots. He doesn't only plant where it's easy. He doesn't only plant where he knows, like, oh, they really need the gospel. I'm going to make sure I share it with them. No, he sows faithfully and generously everywhere. You can't pick and choose who you think is worthy of the gospel. Our responsibility is to share it and trust God with the results. Jesus planted the kingdom in everyone who came to him. Think of all the people that came to Jesus from all walks of life, even a Pharisee, Nicodemus. Instead of trying to decide who, when, and where to sow the gospel, just make it a part of who you are. Sow generously, don't hold back. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. I think about my time at Walgreens. I had 20 years working as a store manager for Walgreens. This was in a different life, and I'll talk about that at the end of my sermon a little more, but we had this program called the Suggestive Sell Program. And if you've ever been in a Walgreens and you've ever checked out and somebody's asked you if you've wanted to buy a candy bar, that was the result of the Suggestive Sell Program. We were asking our front cashiers to sell something, and guess what? They didn't really believe in it. I mean, they're like, why do I have to sell this? What do I get for this? I'm just making you more money. Why is this? But you know who did the best? The ones who asked every customer. They just made it a part of who they were. As people come in, they just said, hey, you want to buy a candy bar? No? Okay, have a great day. Hey, you want to buy a candy bar? No? Okay, have a great day. Hey, you want to buy a candy bar? Oh, you want 10? All right, let's ring those up for you. And that's how it happens. That's how the gospel is shared. Get yourself out of the results and into what we're called to do. Be consistent. Don't grow tired of sowing. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. This is my encouragement for you. Don't give up. And that is going to happen throughout your life. You will see the fruit if you don't give up. And here's why we don't give up. Because there's great potential in every seed. In Mark 4, 30 through 34, Jesus talks about that. He says, again, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth, yet when planted, it grows to become the largest of all the garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. Here's why it's important that we sow, because you never know what small seed you plant will become a mighty tree. Now, Jesus is explaining that this kingdom can produce massive growth. Again, I talked about how he's the original gardener, the original sower, and he is planting these seeds, and we receive those seeds. We grow. We have fruit that also has seeds, and we're sharing that. Here's some applications. Do small things with great devotion. Even if no one notices, those seeds are being planted, and they matter to God. Know your job. Your job is not to harvest. It's to scatter seed. Don't get discouraged if you don't see the results that you think you should see right away. Keep sowing seeds. Something that we talk about in kids' ministry all the time is we are sowing seeds in these children. It's so important. And we may not see it right away. We may not see it for 20 years. If the word has taken root in you, though, you are meant to shine so that that seed becomes visible. So maybe spreading seed, you're like, yes, okay, I'm supposed to share seed, but I'm kind of an introvert. I don't really like talking to people. And believe me, I get it. There are times where I am quite an introvert, and I don't have it. And there's this threshold, they call it the chicken line, that you have to cross to tell somebody about it. And sometimes you're just like, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. This is not the time to share the gospel. Well, here's a different strategy for you. Most of what we do is caught, not taught. Someone once said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. I believe both words and actions are needed for a gospel message, but people are always watching, and you never know what a small thing could make a big difference. Our actions either confirm the seed of God's word in our hearts or contradict it. What you do matters. If you want to cast seed for the kingdom, don't send mixed signals. I think about one of my biggest pet peeves is when I'm driving on, like, let's say the Beltline. It's three lanes, right? And you got somebody in the middle lane, and they got their left blinker on because they're going to move into the left lane. Just kidding. Like, 5 minutes later, their left blinker is still on. And you're actually not feeling great because you're driving behind them, and you're like, do I pass? Do I not pass? Do I feel safe right now? I don't really know. They're sending mixed signals. And I think it's important that as the body of Christ, just start by sending the right signals. Love the people around you. Serve in the church. I think about a kid's song that everybody probably knows, and I'm going to give you one hint. You guys know this song? Okay, I hear some of you guys saying it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Jesus talks about this in the next parable, the parable of the lamp. He tells us not to hide our lamps, but let them shine brightly for all to see. I believe the way to tie the parable of the lamp, stand shining bright, and the sower and the seed is if we let our fruit shine for us. Our fruit is an offering to our King. Our King is God. So when we are called, we give him our first fruits. Our spiritual fruit is what gives the most glory to God. So how do we have good soil and ultimately produce good fruit? Which brings me to point two, the soil. Back to the garden. So my dad didn't have any kids' gloves, and these are just an example, but he would give me these gloves, which I'm clearly not wearing there, and he asked me to go dig holes and start creating spaces for these seeds to be planted. It was so important that we tended the soil before we planted the seeds. We wanted to make sure that these seeds would show up like the picture on the packet, and that the soil would be good. So there's a few things that I want to say, or I feel led to say about the soil. Number one, the first soil is the hard path. This is the soil, if you remember, the seed fell on, but the birds came and picked it all away. They called, Jesus said it was actually Satan that came and took the seeds away. Combat the hard soil. Fight against becoming hard of heart. Stay tender. Plug into a church community. Connect groups were just announced. What a great opportunity if you're not connected and involved in a group to really start becoming close with some other people and loving them. Serve in the church. I already mentioned that. Speak kind words to one another. Sounds like we're in kids' church. Remove a judging spirit. Sometimes I think about the birds just coming and picking at your heart, just little by little. You have these seeds. They're ready to go into the soil. Here comes the birds over and over again. Fight those birds off. Be humble. I was reading this book recently, and it just said, so much is open to people who put on the cloak of humility. It's like it changes their whole vision of how to serve and love each other. I encourage you, something that I'm working on too, to put on the cloak of humility. Soil can become hard over time, so beware of the birds. Hebrews 3:8 says, if you hear his voice today, don't harden your heart. James 1:21 says something a little more serious, but I wanted to mention it. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. I believe that the moral filth and the evil that are mentioned in this verse are what can keep our ground hard from receiving. Don't be shallow like rocky soil. Cultivate intimacy with the Lord. Go deeper with him. We have a conference every year, Intimacy with God. I think it's a great opportunity to go deep, but it can't just happen at a conference. It's got to happen on your daily walk. Memorize scripture. I love scripture memory. I think it's so important, and it plants seeds. Soak in the water of God's presence. Makes me think of another kid's song. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. We used to sing this, I mean, I'm probably dating myself, but back in the 80s, yes, I'm definitely dating myself. But as we sang it, we would say, grow, 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 and we would raise our hands like this. And then there was another part, some of you may know it, don't read your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. And we thought it was so funny because we would try to get like as low to the floor as we could, and we'd stand on our chairs to be as high as we could, and that song really stuck with me, but isn't it the truth? It's a simple formula, so simple that kids can sing it. Then we get to the thorns. The thorns are the real problem in today's culture. There's so many cares in this world. I know many of you have come in with thorns in your garden. There's nothing wrong with having some thorns, but God calls us to don't get used to the thorns in your garden. Start picking them out. Start doing the hard work. Ask him for help. Ask each other for help. Get prayer. There are so many ways that we can take care of our garden. It's not just media, social media, financial worries, distractions that are assaulting us. It's the wounds of our past, our hurts, bitterness, unforgiveness, or trauma. All of these things are creeping around us, trying to strangle us out and keep us from the intimacy that we've been promised by Jesus. It's a spiritual battle of the mind, but there's hope. 1 Peter 5:7 says, we should cast all our cares upon him. There's thorns in our life, but there's hope. There's freedom ministry that happens here at the church. If you need help, we are here for you. Take the time to investigate on how to take advantage of our resources. We have a responsibility to tend our own soil. In Mark 4, verse 24, Jesus says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you and more. When I grew up in church, I thought this meant how much ever you judge somebody, that judgment will be used back on you. But after doing a little research, I'm not really sure that's what it means. A lot of scholars think that that means with the measure you use to help someone, that measure will be used, will be added unto you. This is like actually an encouraging thing where Jesus is like, if you dig deep into these parables, if you really hunger after me, I will meet you there. It's a promise that he will give you the resources that you need in those circumstances. I think this means that whatever we use for the kingdom will be measured to us, and even more will be given. If your heart is good soil, seeds will take root and reproduce in a healthy way. So cultivate your soil. So we've talked about the seed and our duty or our call to plant it. We've talked about the soil and the importance of cultivating our own soil, keeping it free from thorns and going deep and keeping it soft. Now we talk about God's part. God's role is to bring the growth. This is the best part of the sermon, in my opinion. Let's take a look at Mark 4, 26 through 29. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he doesn't know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as a grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come. What I believe Jesus is saying here is God brings the growth. It doesn't happen because of what we did. And I'll tell you, that is so freeing. Because if you tie yourself to a performance identity, I'm going to save the world, and you go out and you start telling people about the gospel, and after a few days, you're like, wow, everybody is rejecting me. What is going on? You can get discouraged. But if you cast seed and you trust in the Lord to bring the growth, it will set you free. Back to the Jensen family garden. We cast all the seed, we cultivated the soil, and lo and behold, we got there. And the fruit was amazing. And we were able to cultivate that fruit and eat from that fruit all summer long. It was so wonderful. We plant, and then the Holy Spirit tills the soil. We can remove the rocks and the thorns, but sometimes I believe we need to pray, and the Holy Spirit comes through like a big old plow and just knocks the soil loose and helps set us on our right direction. Parents, keep planting the truth in your children's lives and cultivate your own garden. See what God does in theirs. I've got a good story for parents. Now, I'm not a parent, but I'm an uncle. And I was out in Colorado where my nephew lives, and he's a hockey player. He's 12. And they had this championship game. And so we went and we watched, and it was fun, but they lost. But they didn't just lose like everybody else. They lost because my nephew, with 2 seconds left, went to block, he's a defenseman, went to block a puck from going into the goal. And instead of blocking the puck, he actually like knocked the puck into the goal. He was devastated. The whole team was devastated. Well, it was his birthday, this was in January, and Hannah and I had gotten him an athlete's Bible. So it's after the game, we hadn't given him his present yet, and we're driving home, and I don't know why, like I really believe it was the Holy Spirit. I said, can Theron ride with us? And his mom was like, what? Like, I'm his mom. You know, I could tell. She was like, I want to be with my son. He just lost this game. But she, for some reason, again, I believe it was the Holy Spirit. She said, okay, yeah, you can ride with your aunt and uncle. So we rode home and we talked about the game. Well, then we got to the house and he opened his present that night, the Bible. And I don't believe in coincidences. He opened his Bible and there was a whole subheading that said, how to lose God's way. It was in Romans and it had a whole setting about how he could learn how to lose as a believer. And I knew right then and there that that seed was that was a mustard seed right there, folks. And so I want to encourage you to sow these seeds in your kids' lives. Teachers, keep sowing into your students. You never know which one is going to take into the good soil. Church, keep loving and serving. You never know when somebody walks in that door what they're going through, and you might be the one to just help plant another seed in their life of the kingdom of God. Sometimes our growth in Christ can feel slow, hidden, and even invisible, but God is at work beneath the surface. Trust in his power and let the Holy Spirit continue to till your soil. You may feel like, yeah, you know, these guys are such big plants and they make so much fruit. Get out of that comparison. God did not call us to comparison. He called us to discipleship. Paul said it like this. Paul knew this. Paul knew that comparison could be a thing. So he, right away, he just gives all the credit to God. In 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 7, he says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. I believe God is the God of growth. Think about bamboo. If anybody knows anything about bamboo, it's very shallow in its root system. Actually, you could plant a bamboo seed and you could not see growth for 2 to 3 years. It's actually spreading out and it's planting rhizomes under the soil. And at a certain point in time, all of a sudden, massive amounts of bamboo shoots come up. Something that you thought was wasted has now turned into a mighty plant. Don't give up. Keep planting seeds. Let's talk about prodigals for a minute. Let's talk about those who've had the seeds planted in their lives, but you're wondering, where's the fruit? I haven't seen anything grow in a long time. I feel like there was a plant there. There was fruit there. Where is it? I was listening to an audiobook on a long trip to Bucky's, and this book talked about marshlands. And again, I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you need to take note of this. There was a part in it where it talked about how the seeds in a marshland, even after it dries up, those seed beds can stay alive for 50 years. Those seeds don't die. So the marshland will dry up and these seeds beds will stay. And guess what? All you need to do is add water. There's this big like movement to restore the marshlands. So when the water returns to the marshlands, they regrow within a year. I believe that there are some seeds that have been dormant, and I think we should start praying for water in those seeds. So what is our call to action from these parables about seed and soil? I've shared about scattering seeds. I've shared how the kingdom of God is going to grow, discuss the soils, and establish that God brings the growth. But now I want to talk about that growth a little more. What does it look like practically? Sure, God brings the growth, but what can I do? Jesus calls us into discipleship in order to grow deeper, in order to grow our relationship with him deeper. And that kingdom will ultimately change the world. But our contributions are likely to be small, hardly noticeable sometimes. And that's okay, because if we are being real right now, eternally real, kingdom real, it's not our fame that matters. It's God's fame. So if your contribution is small, well, okay. My contribution's been pretty small. I think a lot of people's contributions are small, but it all adds up and it all brings glory and honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He went out from the crowd to 12 dudes. I was like, hey guys, you're my disciples. He was casting seed to a massive crowd, but he gave the inside scoop to 12. Are you willing to press in and get the inside scoop? Because it's not just the surface of the story that God wants you to know. He wants you to dig deeper. apply it to your life, and make some changes. In verse 12, he says, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. I want to understand. I want to know. And I want to be excited about it and tell others. And so that's why we're here. I think he wants us to look at it, at this parable, as a disciple. So if you've met someone who is a real disciple of Jesus Christ, you can tell. You can tell by their fruit. And so that makes me think of somebody that had a lot of fruit in my life. And if you've heard my testimony already, please forgive me, I'm going to say it one more time. But his name was Frank. And Frank Gehring was 96 years old when he shared the gospel with me. And I'll never forget how it happened. I was at a Walgreens store, and I was a store manager, and my front cashier was wearing a necklace with a cross on it. And so Frank comes walking in, you know, he's shopping, he's doing his thing, and he's leaving, and I didn't know Frank yet. And he asked my cashier, he said, so what is that around your neck? And my cashier, his name was Sang. There was a lot of Hmong employees in Wausau that I hired. And he said, I don't know, it's a cross. And he's like, well, do you know what that cross means? And Sang's like, no. And Frank's like, well, that means that Jesus died for your sin. Do you know who Jesus is? And this guy's like, Sang's like, no. And he's like, well, let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus died on that cross that you're wearing around. It's a symbol of what he did for you. And he died for your sins. And he actually wants you to know him so you can have abundant joy and live with him for all eternity. He is the God of all gods and the Lord of all lords. And Frank is sharing this. And I'm sitting there like his drawer had $600 in it. So I was supposed to take that back to the safe. So I'm just like, my jaw hits the floor. I'm like, wow. So I followed Frank out, and I said, Frank, that was really cool. He's like, who are you? No. He was like, well, thanks. He's like, that's what we're called to do, is talk about the good news. It turns out this church was a Baptist church in Wausau, and their mission was to share the gospel with as many people as they could. That was just their goal. But what happened in that Walgreens store is seeds that had been dormant for a long time had dried up, that water began to rise. And Frank didn't know what he was doing. I mean, he did. He knew what he was doing, but the Holy Spirit was the one bringing the growth. The Holy Spirit was orchestrating that. So Frank's like, you want to come to my church? I mean, my answer would have been 99%, no way. But Frank hit me on that 1%. Because of the Holy Spirit, because God brings the growth. And guess what? I went to church, and Frank was in the back row, and he looked for me, and he found me, and he welcomed me in. And the rest is history. Frank sowed seeds. We are called to sow seeds. There's three ways that I believe God is calling us to respond this morning. And so I want us to do just a little bit of inward evaluation. Maybe today you're good. You're the good soil. You're producing fruit. You are happy in the kingdom. Your relationship with God is as the best it's ever been. I believe today is all about taking a pH test of your soil. Just maybe a moment for you to just reflect and say, God, thank you so much for what you've done for me. Thank you so much for loving me. Thank you for everything that's around me. And maybe this morning is just that. It's an opportunity to thank him. Maybe this morning, think about the picture of me in the garden. Maybe it's you and Jesus standing alongside your garden together and taking a survey of the land. Maybe it's in prayer letting Jesus say, you know what? There's a few rocks over there that are kind of keeping you from going a little deeper. Maybe you felt that. Or, hey, you know that plant I've been trying to grow over there with all the thorns around it? Maybe it's time to maybe trim those thorns up a little bit. Because you know what? You keep getting poked. I don't want you to get poked anymore. The kingdom is not about getting poked. But the real invitation this morning is for the people that have hard soil. Maybe today you're not even thinking about what type of soil you have. You've listened to this message and you're like, that's great, but the birds have been robbing my seeds since as long as I can remember. Every time a seed falls, I'm like, nah, no thanks, don't need it. But maybe today, it's like me and Frank. It's that 1%, and the Holy Spirit is going to do some work. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Maybe today you've realized you've been part of the crowd. You've been hearing, but not really seeing what the Lord has for you. I beg you today, don't just hear the story. Become a disciple of Jesus. Believe in him and receive him and follow him. He says, I have what you've been searching for, and I want to share it with you. Just open your heart, soften your ground, and let my seed be planted in you. The good news of the gospel is this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became the ultimate seed. The ultimate seed came to earth as a man who died and was buried for your sins. And on the third day, he rose again so that his life could grow in you. I often chase the kids around for scripture memory. It's just been something that I feel like the Lord has called me to do as a kids pastor, is to encourage kids to memorize the word of the Lord. I feel like when they memorize these verses, they are planting these seeds in their hearts. And I've heard too many stories that I just can't be convinced that that's not a good way to work with kids. So this little blue vest is my sunlight vest from when I was like 8. And I got all my little jewels and set all my stuff, but this is what has inspired me to continue. We will always have an Awana program. We will always have scripture memory here at church because it's a foundational thing that I believe has seeds for the future.